The following shir has been presented by Dayan Yohannesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center.
Maseches Shkalim has been graciously dedicated in memory of Avigail Meimarachal Aleha HaShalom, Bas Yibodel Ben Chaim L'Chaim, Reb Chaim Aaron, Admeya V'Esrim Shana. May the Torah studied through this volume be an everlasting zchus for her neshama.
Shkolim Daf Yud Tes. The Mishnah tells us that if you find money in close proximity to some of the boxes where money was deposited in the Beis HaMikdosh, then we have to decide where they probably fell out of. And this is based on the Mishnah in the previous parak. There it describes that there were 13 shofaros. Each shofar was a type of money box, which was narrow at the top and wider at the bottom, where people dropped in coins for donations for the Beis HaMikdosh. There were 13 different ones. Shlosha Osa Shofaros Hayu BaMikdosh. And each one had an inscription on it. Taklin Chadatin, the new Shkolim from this year. Taklin Atikin, the Shkolim from last year. Kinin, those who wanted to donate money for sets of birds to be bought as an Ola Mechatos. Gozer Olo, Eitzim, Mavono, Zov, Lekaporos. And finally, six individual shofaros, all for Nadova. Smachlokas in the Gemara and the Bavli, whether these six Nadova boxes all held the same types of Nadova, or there were six different types of Nadova. Altogether there were 13. Six boxes of Nadova, of donations, to the Beis HaMikdash, and the other seven for specific purposes, such as the new Shkolim, the old Shkolim, Kinim, Gozle, Ola, etc., etc. Now our Mishnah discusses what happens if you find a coin on the floor and it's between two of these boxes. The Mishnah's example is between the Shkolim and the Nadova. So where do we assume this money came from? So the Mishnah says, if it's Korov L'Shkolim, if it's nearer to the Shkolim, we'll assume it's from the Shkolim. If it's nearer to the Nadova, we'll put it in the Nadova box and it'll be used for Korbanos Nadova. Explain the Mefarshim. This is based on the concept of Korov. Whatever it's near to. When in doubt, you go after the nearest thing. This is learned from a Posuk by Eglo Arufo. If you find a dead person murdered out of town, and you want to know from which town he came from, because the elders of the town where the murderer came from have to bring an Eglo Arufo, you measure which is the nearest town to where you found the dead body, and that's the town that has to bring the Eglo Arufo. So we learn from this as a Gemara and Basra that there's a concept in Halacha of Korov. If you have a doubt of one or two places, you go, you assume it came from the nearer one. So this is our Mishnah. If you find a coin, if it's nearer to the box of Shkolim, it probably came to the Machshus HaShekel box, so you return it to there. If it's nearer to the Nadoval box, then it probably came from the Nadoval. Adds the Bartanura that there is a concept in the Gemara and Bar Basra of Roiv V'Korov Holkim Acha HaRoiv. If we have two different ways to determine where this coin came from, or in the case of the Gemara there, if you find, for example, a dove, a bird which belongs to somebody, we don't know who it belongs to, we find it in the middle of the street, and there are two dovecots where it possibly came from. One belongs to Reuven and one belongs to Shimon. It's nearer to Reuven's, so it's Korov, so that would normally tell us that we would assume it's Reuven's. On the other hand, Shimon's dovecot has a lot more doves, so if you go after the majority, it probably came from Shimon's. So which one takes precedence, Roiv or Korov? The majority or the close proximity? So the Gemara there, Paschal Zalochan and Isaac Winter of Chanina, the Roiv or Korov, Hochim Achar Roiv, where we have these two concepts pulling in different ways, we follow the Roiv, we follow the majority, and therefore we would give that duff to Shimon because we would presume it came from there. Ask the Bartanur, in our case, why don't we look how many coins are in the Shkolim and how many are in the Nadova and follow the majority. Even if it's nearer to one, if the majority is in the other, there's more in the other, Roiv V'Korov Harochim Achar Roiv. So it's about to know, we're obviously talking about a case where they're equal, there is no Roiv, and therefore we follow the Korov. So too says the Rosh, the Rosh adds in that why don't we go offer the Rav of money which is elsewhere in the world? If Rav Vakorach Hochanach Rav, why don't we only consider the ones which are close by and not follow a money box which may be miles away, which has got many, many more coins? And the answer is, says the Rosh, that as the Gemara Neir Baba Basra points out, when we're considering either Rav or Korach, we only consider the ones which are possible or likely that the Dav, for example, would have come from them. But if we're talking about a situation where the two Davkots are unconnected to any other part of the world, then we'll assume that it came from one of these two, rather than the extremely unlikely possibility that it came from far away. And so too with Eglah Rufa. So we're talking about a case where the two cities which are in the Sofik, which are possibly that one of them, are the only ones that are nearby. Anything else is much, much further away and unconnected from here, such that the murderer almost certainly didn't come from anywhere else. So both the Baltanu and the Rosh say that we would have employed the rule of Rav for Korach Hochanach Rav, if not for the fact that here the amount of coins was equal, and therefore we have no majority, and therefore we go after the Rav. We go after the Korav, sorry, the closer proximity. That's the explanation of our Mishnah. Now, we'll come back to the Mishnah in a moment, but first let's discuss the concept of Rav in general. We know all many times in Shas and all over the Shulchan Aruch the concept of Hokan Acha HaRav. The classic example is Teisha Chanuyos Mokros Bosa Shchuta. If you have 9 shops which are selling kosher meat and 1 shop which is selling non-kosher meat, and you find a piece of meat outside in the street, we assume it came from the 9 kosher shops rather than the 1 non-kosher shop, because the concept of going after the majority, going after the Rav. Now, a number of Achronim raised the following possibility. What would be if there were 9 kosher shops and 1 non-kosher shop, but the non-kosher shop had in it much more meat than all the 9 kosher shops put together? Would we then assume that the piece of meat we find in the street is not kosher? Because if you look at the pieces of meat, there's many more non-kosher pieces of meat that could have come over here. Or do we look at the shops? There's 9 more kosher shops and only 1 non-kosher shop. So even though the 9 kosher shops together don't have that much meat, if we look at the shops, the Rav tells us that it's kosher. If we look at the meat, the Rav tells us that it's not kosher. So what do you do? So there's a base mayor in Yerodesim Kufiyot Sivkot and Gimel, Chavos Das, also in Sivkot and Gimel in Yerodesim and Kufiyot, both say that we go after the Rav Chanuyos. We go after the shops, we don't look at how many pieces of meat there are in those shops on any individual day. The native Yudah Tinyon Arachayim 79 Aleph also quotes this Sofik, and he says it's certainly mashma, certainly implied from the Gemara Teisha Chanuyos Merchot Posel that we look at the shops. The Gemara doesn't discuss the meat. The simple pshat in the Gemara is you look at the shops, however much meat there is. And therefore the chorah, the sfarah would be, we would look at the shops and not look at the amount of meat that's available. However, he says, it's kedai to be machmir in such a situation. So he's not 100% convinced that we follow the shops and not take into account the amount of meat. Now the Chochmas Odom in Binas Odom Shara Kavua, Simon Tes Zayin, takes the opposing view. And he suggests that in a situation where the amounts of meat are unequal, we're actually looking at amounts of meat to determine our majority. And he brings a number of proofs. And one of the proofs he brings is from our Mishnah here. Moshinim Subin Shkolim Lenadova. Korav Lishkolim Yipur Lishkolim. Our Mishnah says, if you find money, and it's between the Nadova box and the Shkolim box. So if it's nearer to the Nadova, we assume it's from the Nadova. If it's nearer to the Shkolim, we assume it's the Shkolim. Point out the Baltanu and the Rosh that we're talking about where the amounts of money are equal, otherwise we would employ the rule of Rav Korav Hokum Achar Rav. Says the Chochmas Odom, well, that works very well if we're talking about pieces of meat, or in our case we're talking about coins. We can see how many coins there are in the 6 boxes of Nadova and how many there are in the boxes of Shkolim, in the 2 boxes of Shkolim. And if they're equal, we can say, like the Baltanu and the Rosh seems to be saying, the money is equal, we have no Rav, and therefore we go after the Korav. However, if in such a situation of the meat, you wouldn't ignore the pieces of meat, you'd only go both of the shops, you'd look at the shops, the 9 kosher shops as opposed to the 1 trefa shop, then in our case we've got 6 boxes of a Nadova and only 2 boxes of Shkolim, Takli Chavzin, Takli Natigin. So how can the Baltanu and the Rosh say that we're talking about they're equal? We don't go off the road, we don't follow the road, we follow the Korav in this case. It's not true that they're equal, because if we're in such a situation, we always go after the amount of shops rather than the amount of meat. In our situation, we'd have to go after the shofaris rather than the amount of money. And there are 6 the double sofas and only two of Shkolim. It doesn't work. It must be that the Rosh and the Baton are held that we're not interested in the amount of shots. We're interested in the amount of meat. And therefore, in our case, we're not interested in the amount of shofarish. We're interested in the amount of money that there is in the shofarish. And altogether, in the six shofarish and the dollar, there's the same amount as there are in the two shofarish of Shkolim. And therefore, says the Chochmas Sofer, the Chochmas is a very strong proof. Anias Daiti, Iraya Gedolo, he says. The strong proof that in such a situation, we follow the amount of coins rather than the amount of shofarish to determine our majority, and so too in the case of the shops, we would take into account the amounts of kosher meat and non-kosher meat rather than the amount of shops. However, the Rav Shimon Shkop in the Shar Yosha, Shar Dalet Simonet Perik Tes, explains that there's no proof from here, Lachor. And Rav Shimon says that Lachor, we would follow the Chavos Das and the Beis Meir. Certainly the Gemara implies that when it comes to the amount, the sophic of the meat, we look at the number of shops which are kosher and non-kosher rather than the amount of meat in the shops. And the reason for that is, says Rav Shimon, as soon as we determine that based on the rove, we know which shop it came from, we already know which piece of meat it came from. So our first topic is, where did it come out from? Which shop did this piece of meat come from? And once we have a rove of the shops, we'll determine if the rove are kosher, then the meat must be kosher. If the rove are not kosher, the meat must be non-kosher. We never get to the stage where we have to look at the pieces of meat. And that's really our topic, where the piece of meat came from, and then we would know if there is kosher or not kosher. Says Rav Shimon, but sometimes you don't have a rove. When do you find a situation when there is no rove? Says Rav Shimon, well, what constitutes a rove? What constitutes a majority? First of all, it's clear that a majority have to have something in common, a common factor which joins them together to make them into majority. For example, if you find a lost object in a city, if most of the people in the city are goyim, you can assume it belongs to a goy. There's no mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda. If most of the people in the city are Jews, then you can assume it came from a Jew, and therefore there's a mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda. So what joins the majority together, all the Jewish people together, mean that they all have equally the same halacha, that if it fell from them, there's a mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda. That makes them all one group, they have a common factor, and that makes them into a rove. But what happens if, for example, everyone in the town was Jewish, most of the people in the town were Belzer Hasidim. 70% were Belzer Hasidim. And you find a lost object in the street. Does that mean it fell from a Belzer Hasid? As far as Allah is concerned, there's no difference between a Belzer Hasid and another Jew. There's a mitzvah of Hashem made to all of them. So it doesn't determine for us anything. Doesn't tell us that it probably fell from a Belzer Hasid. Maybe statistically it might be true, but as far as Allah is concerned, that doesn't make a rove. A rove must be that they join together to form something which has a nafka min, according to the halacha. All the pieces of meat are kosher or not kosher, the people in town are Jewish or not Jewish, and so on. That makes them into a rove or makes them into a meat. Incidental things doesn't make a difference. How tall or short they are, whether they're male or female, if it has no nafka min, according to halacha, doesn't make a rove or a meat. That's clear, says Rav Shimon. Now, says Rav Shimon, what about, can we join together a whole group of people who have nothing in common other than they are not somebody else? That also doesn't make them into a rove. If a person comes along and says, you found my lost object, and perhaps he gives a simon as well, can we say to him, but the rove says it's not yours because the rove are everybody else in town? That doesn't make a rove. A rove doesn't mean that everybody who's not this person is the majority. There's nothing in common with them other than the fact that they're not this person. That doesn't create them into a rove and make him into a meal. That's clear, isn't it? And therefore, he says, let's analyse the case of nine kosher shops and one non-kosher shop. The fact that there are nine kosher shops which are not the non-kosher shop doesn't mean that it doesn't come from the non-kosher shop, says Rav Shimon. There's no sfora to say that if we're thinking about whether it came from the non-kosher shop, it probably didn't because there's nine other shops. You could say that equally about every individual shop. There's nine other shops, says Rav Shimon. Each one you would say, it can't be this one, can't be shop A or shop B or shop C, because each one has got a rove against it, and therefore it can't be any of the shops. And that's not true, because we know it came from at least one of them. Rather, says Rav Shimon, if there's nine kosher shops, we determine the rove tells us that it's from one of the kosher shops. If that's the case, it cannot be from the non-kosher shop. That's the reason why we assume it's kosher. Because there's nine kosher shops. So it must have come from the rove, therefore it couldn't have come from the meat. Just the fact that all the non-kosher shabbos are not the same one as the non-kosher shabbos doesn't mean inherently that it's not from the non-kosher shabbos. Let's apply that solution to our case. We have 13 shofaros in the Beit HaMikdash. As the Rosh points out, we can assume that any money we find around this area is not from outside and is not more schulin, because the Tosefta in Brachos says you're not allowed to come into the Beit HaMikdash until higher abayis with any money which is not hektish. So the only money we're going to find here is hektish. It must be from one of these 13 boxes. Now we have 6 boxes of nandavas, the Mishnah in the previous parak says, and we have 7 shofaros of various different kinds, taknin chatatin, taknin atikin, kinin, zolav lakaparis, each one has a different tafkin. We find some money somewhere, says Rav Shimon. What's the majority telling us? If we're going after the chanuyas, we're going only after the shops, or in our case, we're going after the shofaros, we're not going after the amount of money in the shofaros. Says Rav Shimon, we have 6 shofaros on the Dova, but that's not a majority, because 6 out of 13 is actually a minority. So we can't assume they came from the 6 shofaros of Nadavon, because they're not the majority. Well, can we assume that in that case that it must be from the other 7 shops, because 7 is more than 6, so that makes a majority? Can we assume they came from the other 7 shofaros? Says Rav Shimon, no, because those shofaros are all individual. One's for Shkolim, one's for Kinim, one's for Zov, each one's for a different thing. The fact that they're all combined together to say they're not Nadavon doesn't make them into a rove. So we can't assume on the one hand it came from the Nadova because there's only 6 Nadovas and that's a minority. We can't assume it came from the other 7 because there's nothing which joins the other 7 to form a rove. The only common fact they have is that they're not Nadova. That doesn't make them a rove. So we can't say it came from Shkolim. We can't say it came from Kinin. We can't say it came from the Zohov. And we can't say it came from the Nadova. So we don't have a rove at all in such a situation, said Rav Shimon. So we can't follow the rove. All we're left with now is a korov. All we're left with is which one is it nearer to. Now, says Rav Shimon, when it comes to Korov, we only take into account the 2 nearest ones. It's either it's found between the Shkolim and the Nadavos. If that's the case, then there's no Rove here, because as we pointed out, there's no Rove Nadavos and there's no Rove of anything else. So we can ignore the Rove because we don't have one. All we're left with is the Korov. If it's nearer to the Shkolim, it came from the Shkolim. If it's nearer to the Dovas, it came from the Dovas. Now, once we've narrowed it down to only these 2 shofaros, now asked about the Nura, if you found more money in one than in the other, then we have a shot of Rove Korov. Once we've narrowed it down to 2, we haven't got a Rove Chamulius, we've only got a Rove Basar. Well, in that case, we haven't got a Rove shofaros, but we do have Rove money between these 2. Then, says Rav Shimon, we look at the Rove. And Rove Korov Okanachar Rove. On that, says the Bartanura, we're talking about a case where there's an equal amount of money in this Shekel Shofar as there is in the Nadova Shofar. Not like the Chochmas Solomon says, there's an equal amount of money in all 6 Shofars of Nadova as there is in the Shofar of Shkolim. No, we're only looking at 2 different Shofars. All the others we ignore. We're looking at the 2 nearest ones. And we're deciding which one is it nearer to. Then, if they have equal money in each of them, we go after the nearest, the Korov. If one has more than the other, then we go after Rove, because Rove and Korov, Hokanach, are Rove. So in other words, in Rav Shimon, our first port of call is, let's look at the Shofaros. Do we have a Rove Shofaros, just like Rove Chanuyos? In this case, we don't. So we go after the Korov. The Korov eliminates everything except the 2 nearest. Amongst those 2, we would follow the Korov, unless there's a Rove of coins in that. Very, very good schmuck for Shtickle Perry from Rav Shimon. It's still a little bit difficult. I can't quite see when Rav Shimon goes on to Korov, how suddenly he brings in the Rove and ignores all the other money boxes. I can understand when it comes to Korov, you look at the nearest 2 and you look which one of the 2 is nearest. But once you're now taking into account the Rove of the coins as well, then the Korov, we don't only look at the nearest 2, we can look at the next one further away as well. Between the 2, anyway, it's only going to be nearer to 1. So there's no reason why we should consider the second one, which is a little bit further away, any more than the third one. Korov tells you, you look at the nearest one. If you're comparing 2 of the nearest one, you're saying, even though it's nearer to A, if B has more coins, we say, Rove Korov Vachar Rove, then the Korov, I think if C has even more coins, we would go after that, even if it was further away. Where does Rav Shimon get this concept that once you're coming onto Korov, you only look at 2 and you don't look at 3 at all, or 4 or 5? When it comes to Rove the Korov, look at an amount of coins. Lachera would have said, and so is Mashma from the Gemara and Baba Basra then, Daf Kaf Gimel, But even if you have three or four which are possible that it could have come from, ignoring anything which could have come from a different valley, but from that area, from that boundary, within that boundary there's more than one or two or three or four, then Rav the Korav would say we would follow the Rav even if there are more than one which are nearer than this particular one. So this I'm not exactly clear about how Rav Shimon understands that at this stage, once we've narrowed it down to Korav, we only look at the nearest two, and of those two we give it to the nearest one unless there is a Rav in the other one. Why don't we assume, look at all the other boxes as well? That's how Rav Shimon learns the sugya. If that's the case in the Mishnah, then there's no right to the Chochmah Sodom. What did the Chochmah Sodom want to say, since the Baal Tanur and the Rosh say that we must be talking about this equal number of coins, then it must be we look at the pieces of meat rather than the shops, because in this case there are six shofaros of Nadova and only two shofaros of Shkolim, and nonetheless the Rosh and the Baal Tanur say they're equal as far as the race is concerned. It must be they're looking at the coins and not at the shofaros, and so too by meat we should look at the meat and not at the shops. Says the Sharu, says Rav Shimon, it's no rav from here at all. Here there is no rav of shops. There is no rav of shofaros. Because the Dover, although there's more Nadova than there are Shkolin, still they're not the rav, because we're looking at 6 out of 13. So we can't look at the rav kanus, because there is no rav kanus in this case. And therefore we go after the korov. Once we go after the korov, says Rav Shimon, we look at the rav coins between those two. And those, says the Baal Tanur and the Rosh, are equal, and that's why there's no rav when we follow a korov. In that case, it's Bechlal no right to the Chochmas Adam. The Chassam Sefer, in its Kiddushim on the Sugi, Baal Basra takes a completely different approach altogether. And he says that look at our Gemara and Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi asks a separate question. If there are 13 different boxes, and presumably they're in a line along the wall, or something like that, and the Mishnah says that there's Taklin Chazatin, Taklin Atikin, Kinin, Soilis, a whole list, and the end of the list is in a Nadova. So if we look at the Mishnah, we would assume that the boxes of money were in a line, at the one end you had the Shkolim, and at the other end you had the Nadova boxes, and then all the other ones in between. So how, says the Gemara in Ari Yerushalmi, can you find a coin which is partly, a part way between the Nadova and the Shkolim, and we look at which one is nearer to it? If it's part way between the Nadova and the Shkolim, it's much nearer to the one of the ones in the middle. So why are we only considering the Shkolim and the Nadovas? Answers Yerushalmi, no, they weren't in a straight line, they were actually in a circle. And therefore, the Shkolim box was nearest to the Nadova because it went all the way round and met up again. You found some money in between the Shkolim and the Nadova box because the boxes were all in a circle. So, says the Yerushalmi, according to most Mephoroshim, Chassam Sofer understands that Yerushalmi doesn't mean a circle, he means actually a semicircle. They were laid out in an arc in a semicircle around the room. Now, says the Chassam Sofer, presumably when the person walked into the room or onto the Harabayas where these money boxes were, he came in the middle. And facing him was his arc, arcing round from his left-hand side all the way around in front of him and coming down around to the right-hand side. If that's the case, then if he's facing this semicircle, to his, when he walks into the room, to his right if he would be the Shkolim box, and to his left would be the Nadova box, and in front of him, in a semicircle, would be all the others. Now, if this person, if we find a coin on the floor, it's one of two possibilities. Either someone coming in with his money was going on his way to one of the shofaros to put it, and it fell out of his pocket, out of his hand, or a kohen came in and took some money from the shofar and was on his way out with the said money. So now, says the Chassam Sofer, if they're in a semicircle, if the person walks in and he wants to give it to the shkolim, so he's going to turn right and make his way to the money box on the right. Well, then a kohen, taking from the shkolim, would walk in, go to the right, go to that money box and take the money out and come back and go out again. If he was going to Nadova, he would take a different path entirely. He would walk in, turn left, and go towards the left, and he came to the left, the money box on the left where the Nadova was, drop the money in there, or if he was taking money out, take money out from there, and again retrace his steps and walk back out again. But I think that if you find money, if when the Mishnah says if it's nearer to the Shkolim, it comes from the Shkolim, that means to say in this case it's not just a simple case of Korov, it's a case of Korov de Muchach, if you like. And let's explain this concept. In the case of Eglah Rufa, we have two towns, a smaller town and a bigger town, or two different towns, let's say even the same size towns, and we find a dead person. He's nearer to one than to the other. He's a 20-minute walk from one, but he's an hour walk from the other. Does that indicate statistically or in probability that the murderer who killed him came from the nearer city or from the further city? No, there's no reason why to assume that he came from the murderer walked 20 minutes and killed him and walked back, or the murderer walked an hour and killed him and walked back. They're both equally likely as far as statistics are concerned. The fact that one's nearer to the other doesn't prove anything. It's a halacha, it's exactly a kosov. Much like chazoka is an hogov, follow the chazoka. In this case, you follow the roiv. That's what the Torah says. If it's nearer to this one, you follow the roiv. Even though mathematically there may be no reason to assume it came from there rather than from there. Roiv is more of a statistic, lechayer. It's more of a probability. But Korah doesn't tell you anything as far as statistics is concerned or probability is concerned. It's halacha. In our case, though, Korah does tell you something logically and statistically. In our case, if you find the money between the entrance and the shkolim box, it almost certainly fell from the shkolim. Because had it been money from the nadova, you wouldn't have found it here at all. You would have found it on the other side. Because to go to the nadova box, you have to turn left and not right. And therefore, if you find it nearer to the shkolim, it almost certainly came from the shkolim. This Korah tells you that it must have come from here. Now, there is a very small possibility that it fell out of the nadova box and rolled across the room all the way to over here. But that's very unlikely. Since that's unlikely, even if there's more money in this in the nadova box, we're not going to say rove the korov, okamach arove. Because in this case, it almost certainly came from the korov and hardly likely that it came from the rove. Rove the korov, we employ the rules of rove the korov, okamach arove, when the korov tells you it's nearer to one nearer to, than the other. But rove tells you it probably came from this one because there's more people over there. So it's more likely that someone from there came over here. In this case, even though there's roiv in the nadovas, if you find it near the shkolim, it almost certainly came from the shkolim and not from the roiv. And in this case, therefore, we wouldn't say roiv the korov halkim achar roiv. And not in the other way around. If you find it near the nadova, you follow the korov. What does the Baltimore ask and the Rosh ask? Why don't we go after the roiv? Because roiv the korov halkim achar roiv? No, in this case, you can ignore the roiv. Because even though there's more in the shkolim box, it almost certainly didn't come from there. Because we found it on the left-hand side, on the way to the Nadova, and had it fallen out the shkolim box, it would have been the right-hand side. It's a remote possibility that it fell out of the shkolim and it rolled all the way to the other side of the room. But that's not enough to create a rave. And therefore, in this case, the korov is much stronger. So it comes out, according to Chazam Sofer, that he's bypassed the Rosh and the Baltanura. There is no problem of rave of the korov, says the Baltanura, says the Chazam Sofer, because we can ignore the rave of amounts of money in the boxes in this case. Because here, the korov indicates that it almost certainly came from the korov and not from the roiv. The point, the chori is, though, that the Chasam Sofer has understood there is a semicircle here. Most Mephoroshim seem to understand in the Yerushalmi that they weren't laid out in a semicircle, but rather in a circle, and therefore the whole theory of the Chasam Sofer doesn't work. That can't be the case. And that's presumably how the Rosh and the Baltanura learned, and therefore they had to come onto the concept of roiv for korov, and they had to answer that there was equal amounts of money in the other, in one and in the other, and therefore there is no roiv. But according to the Chasam Sofer, the whole shayla doesn't start. There is no shayla of roiv for korov. So to summarize, the Chochmas Olam wanted to bring a raya from Mount Gomorrah and from the Rosh and the Baltanura. But since they say there's equal amounts, and that there is no roiv and we follow the korov, and since there's more nadova boxes than non-nadova boxes, than shkolim boxes, it must be that when they said that it is equal, they don't go after the roiv kamuyus, but rather they follow the roiv posa. That was the Chochmas Olam. The Shimon says in this case there is no roiv kamuyus, because the six nadovas are a miut, a minority out of 13, and the other seven don't combine to form a roiv, because each one is a different box with a different tachlis, with a different money being used for a different purpose, and therefore they don't combine to form a rove. You don't have a rove, and therefore you go after a korov of the nearest between two, and between those two you look at the rove amount of coins in them, and that the Baltanur and the Rosh meant to say there's equal coins in one as there are in the other. And the Chasam Sofer says it's bechlal nothing to do with rove for korov, because in this case we only look at the korov, not the rove, because in this situation, as the Chasam Sofer understands it, the korov is machreya that it must have come from here, almost certainly didn't come from the rove, and in fact, in case you only follow the rove, the korov, not the rove. In that case, you have no rove whatsoever, according to the Chasam Sofer, and therefore, obviously, there's no proof from here, either way, to the sofik of the chanuyas.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halachic services or consultations, or to present a shaila, please call 1-888-485-VAD. That's 1-888-485-8223, or email info@thehalachacenter.org.